Communication specialist. As the name suggests, this is a person who is specializing in communicating across the organization. We looked at there are different types of organization: projectized, functional, matrix organization. So in different organization, the communication styles will differ. So he is a person who is expert in what is a mode or media which suits your project and organization. Right? Business process re-engineering specialist. Business process re-engineering. So big name. No. Just you need to understand that they are a re-engineering specialist for business processes. They specialize in process re-engineering within the organization to get optimal performance. There are business processes which are called standard processes, business processes which we need to follow. Let's say your organization is CMMI compliant or ISO compliant. So for that particular organization, they need to follow certain business practices that you need to document everything that you do. Okay, there is a standard process which has been defined. So how to improve according to the changing needs of your organization and factors which are affecting from the outside your organization. Okay, like a political party change, policies change for an industry. So accordingly, your business changes, accordingly your process also needs to change. So these are the people who are involved in business process re-engineering. Next is process owner. Process owner are people who are basically own the processes. They have control and authority, accountability for a given process. Let's say billing process or invoicing process. A process owner is defined that this person is specifically will do all the activities related to invoicing. He owns that process. He's accountable. If there are any faults, he or issues, he or she will be held accountable. Process specialist, project process specialist. In simple term, we call them subject matter experts. They are experts in their field to give solution to the business process constraints. They identify what is a problem and then they give solution associated with that particular process. Now comes project process manager. We looked at process manager, which is there, process owner, which is there, who owns the process, but now within the project, how this process will flow will be tweaked by process manager. Within organization, we said that we will use Tally, but our customer said that our project is non-Indian project, so we need to follow the billing process or invoicing process dictated by our customer. So I need to tweak that process, process manager. They will identify and give solution for your project. Then solution architects, big picture, world big picture. They idealize, they identify overall best practice solution for a business process. What is going to work for overall organization is defined, or project organization, I mean to say, for defined by project solution architect, technical architect. Once a process is defined, what all things are required to be done at technical aspects level are defined and created by technical architects for a given business process. Then comes developer. Developer is the smallest level within your project organization. They specialize in creating solutions or components. There are different types of developers, you know, in terms of, you know, network engineers or cloud engineers, coders, database managers, okay? There are different types in which they will work. They will develop the product. Front-end developers or back-end developers, UX, UI developer, many different kinds of developers. They are people who are actually working at a ground level to create your products and services. Okay. Network and telecommunications specialist. They will deal with all the networking related architecture and hardware related issues. Capacity, bandwidth, storage, etc. etc. And very, very important, training team. These teams are needed to identify how your project needs to align to the changing environment inside and outside your organization. Now, you'll see, in current world, there are so much of buzz around AI that a know-how about AI is a must for all team members. Who will identify this? Who will guide what to do, how the training needs to be planned, when it needs to be planned, what level of depth is needed for a team? That is the role of a training team. Or a trainer is a person with the skills and knowledge regarding that content. He's a part of that team. It can be inside or outside your organization. Okay, please remember this. Technical writers. What do you mean by technical writers? They specialize in documenting everything. But not just documenting, it is for reproduction and reuse. Because the phase of project keeps on changing. There are certain additions, deletions, modifications which keep on happening throughout the project life cycles. From life cycle means start to end. So, a specialist technical writer needs to document everything so that they can be re-referred in future. Okay? It's a very important role, I might say, because without your documentation, you cannot come back and ask for details. What happened? What was the problem? Everything needs to be taken care of. Okay? Next, end user. End user is the actual user of the product. People who use the product and services which are created by the project. End user forms valuable resources in the team. Their feedbacks are very important. There are feedback loops. Mind you say, when a product is created, first it goes to internal testing, then it goes to user testing, and then it goes to the final end users. So there are different feedback loops. It failed first time, go back, correct, again, then succeed, next step, succeed, next step, failed, come back. So feedback loops are very, very important. So end users give valuable feedback in terms of resource, project, products, everything. Okay? And that is why you'll see, what do you mean by feedback? You'll see Google reviews, Trustpilot reviews. Many times people look at product remarks, comments, right? These are different feedbacks which are useful. You will see that, you know, when many times you call call center, they will say, give us a feedback about how was our service on a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 5. Right? These feedbacks are very useful for them to decide what happens, how it happens, and what can be improved. Okay? Next are quality managers, people who are responsible for process, procedures, and they ensure that it is at a required quality level. Quality assurance level, I mean to say. We call, many times when we buy a product, we generally check if it is QC checked. QC checked is quality control check has been done for that particular product. That is the responsibility of quality manager. Okay? as I said earlier also, you cannot have a flat with having a transparent window glass and a tinted window glass in the same flat. You have to ensure that a quality level is matching. One room you have a safe glass and one new room you have a normal glass. That doesn't work. Okay. So quality manager's responsibility is ensuring that quality is at a required level. The processes are at a required level. Quality assurance. How will I check and assure this quality is as per expectation? Okay. Quality auditor. Quality checking, certifying, declaring, procedure which are followed. Are they followed properly or not? That is a quality auditor's responsibility. And very, very important, quality auditor is the face to the customer. Okay, many times quality auditor will identify what customer needs and accordingly he will give inputs back to the team. Okay, so we looked at different roles related to project, their responsibilities, what are they required to do. Okay, now let's look at how roles and responsibilities can be documented in different formats. Roles and responsibilities need to be required to be documented. Yes, very, very important. We discussed about different project organization, project ties, matrix, functional. So depending on the type of organization you are using, your roles and responsibility structure will change. And that is why you need to categorize and manage and organize them in a proper format. The three main categories which are there are hierarchical chart, matrix chart, and text-oriented chart. Hierarchical, matrix, and text. So hierarchical chart types are traditional top-down approach. Okay, we talked about work breakdown structure, right? So I have plumbing work. So plumbing work for level 1, plumbing work for level 2, plumbing work for level 3. Similarly, hierarchical chart will show position relationship graph top-down. So they are divided based on a hierarchy. Okay. So we have seen organization breakdown structure also in a similar format, or resource breakdown structure also in a similar format. So here is a small example which will dissect or give you an idea about what we are talking about. Hierarchical organization chart. So we have a project manager. Under that, we have a debit card functionality team manager. Under that, he has 5 team members. Now we have a project manager with a credit card team manager. Under that, they have different team members who are working on credit card functionality. Under credit card, they have loyalty benefits or reward points team also working. Do you understand this? Okay, so hierarchical organization chart, that is top down, coming down. Okay, next, mixed based charts. They are basically termed as RASI. What do you mean by RASI? RASI charts basically depict who is responsible, accountable, who is consulted, and who is informed for a particular task or activities. It describes the relationship between the project team member and work in terms of who is accountable, responsible, consulted, and informed. The short form of that is Responsibility Assignment Matrix, RAM. It's not the RAM what we think about. It is Responsibility Assignment Matrix. Okay. So, this RASI can be developed at various level, or RAM can be developed at various level. Lower level RAMs are used within the group or units or designated roles. Okay, level of authority for specific activities, and they are used by different within the organization many times differently. Okay, so let's look at quickly a RASi example just to explain you what RASi is. Okay, RASi is basically, as I said, responsible, accountable, consulted, and informed. Okay? So let's say there is an activity which says define is an activity. Defining the project plan, let's say. And I have multiple resources within my organization. Resource A, B, C, D, E. And out of that, resource A is accountable for defining activity. Resource B is responsible for creating defining activity. C and D are informed. C, D, E are informed about the activity. Testing activity. Okay. For testing activity, responsibility lies with resource B and resource A is accountable for the activity. Resource B and E are informed about the test results. This is how RASi is documented. It makes visual impression, makes it easier for you to understand. So I skip to this slide. Next, text-oriented format. Text-oriented formats are free form basically. You just write outline text format documents which identify responsibilities, authority, competency, you know, text-based form. So I will write project manager responsible for point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I will just write. These are text formats. Okay. The text formats basically decipher form like, you know, we have a role, responsibility and authority. There are many templates available online. You can look at it, especially when the information is updated throughout the project. Then, and we have to look at the lesson learned, then the text oriented formats are many times useful. Let's look at quickly a sample of text-oriented format. So you'll see a role, responsibility, and authority. What are the responsibilities of that role? Because as I said, there is a difference between a designation and a role. Role can be a project manager, but designation can be a lead. What is your role on a project defines your responsibility and authority. Okay. Next, you will see a simple description of how a schedule is created. Okay, so your project planning, a whole discussion what we have. So project planning will happen for 8 weeks. And out of that, May, June is the area wherein everything, quarter 1, 2, 3, 4 are there. Within that, quarter 1, will May, June, we will have project planning. Okay, developer specialist will be required from June to September. Resource planning, we talked about human resource plan, right? Quality controller will be needed throughout your project lifecycle. Developer 3 will be required from August onwards. This is how you read a schedule. Okay, resource type, duration, and the timelines which are required. Now let's quickly look at the leadership styles which are involved in all these activities, core leadership styles. There are different ways. When we initially started the discussion, I said it's not a science, it's an art. How do you manage your people who are involved in a project? So there are different leadership styles which are adapted by the project managers or leaders. Because we are dealing with different human resources, they have different psychologies, they have different cultures, they have different goals in their mind. And that is why the leadership styles will change. And that is why a project manager needs to define a framework or adapt to an appropriate leadership style to achieve the objectives defined by the project. Okay? They can lead a team in a different styles. Let's quickly go through it. The leading and directing styles can be autocratic and make decisions with facing any inputs from other. Okay, so we are talking about autocratic style. Autocratic styles, okay, in this, they take census by problem solving based on group discussion and agreement. Okay, fetching the inputs from other. Autocratic. Okay, so there are different advantages, disadvantages of each of the style, okay, but depending on the leadership style, you know, or your organization nature or setup, the leadership style can be adapted, modified, and put to use. Okay, we talked about autocratic managers. Autocratic managers are basically managers with little information, little or less information from team. They are sole decision makers. Okay, they are sole decision makers. This can be appropriate, you know, in case you have to make decisions quickly. Okay, like, you know, Queen Elizabeth II or World War Napoleon Bonaparte. You know, they had to take a quick decisions. They are the people who are driving force, or they are sole decision makers. Like Steve Jobs, he used to take input, but the final decision will be of Steve Jobs. Elon Musk, what does he do? He is a hands-on approach kind of person with a high expectation, sole decision maker. Okay, so autocratic managers, however, their style is demoralizing. They can achieve high level of, you know, success. Okay. The democratic managers, now look at, we looked at autocratic, now let's look at democratic managers. These type of managers make the final decisions, but they take into consideration the inputs from team members. They encourage creativity within the team. They tell, yes, I will like to know from you what works best for our organization. Okay, you must have heard about Tim Cook, Apple CEO, Indrani Yogi, PepsiCo. Okay, these people were, their style was totally different. Their leadership style was inclusive, leveraging a diverse perspective. So that people felt, yes, my decision matters. My decision matters. What am I doing on this project matters. Democratic managers. Okay. So democratic manager, as a result, the team has high job satisfaction and high productivity. Many times. That's true. Because people feel attached to the project. Even though it might not be a very effective style, but when you need to make, no, in many times when you may need to make quick decisions. Okay? Like, you know, I told about war rooms, rocket launch phase. Okay? This type of situation, this democratic management will not help. Okay? Laissez-faire. Laissez-faire is also one of the type of managers wherein they give lot of freedom. Do what you want. Do what you want. How they set their deadlines, nothing. No, they just give the support to the team and advise if needed. Advise if needed. Otherwise, they don't get involved at all with the team affairs. Only mini guidance. They have high trust in the team that they will do the best. They are the best people. I trust you and you will do your job well. That is the ideology behind it. Laissez-faire. Okay. So this anatomy can lead to high job satisfaction, but okay, the time management, knowledge, skill, all this many times get messed up. they don't have control over work and people, basically, in this. But they get the job done. That is how it is. Delegation. Basically, it is a delegation of your work. So control, high level control is there, but low level, no control at all. Okay. This works if you have skilled high level managers. Okay. They have insights reflecting on, you know, how the work is being happening. Bureaucratic managers. These type of managers solicit information from selected team members. Okay, solicit information from selected team members. So they don't take advice of everyone. They decide on their own, but they do feel that the opinion of this person matters because he is greatly involved in the project. They follow rules rigorously. They follow procedures. They ensure that people follow procedures. But at the end, the solicited information matters. Okay. The leadership style is appropriate for work involving serious safety risks. Like, you know, working on a machinery or toxic substances, dangerous heights with, you know, government departments, police departments, mortgage or loan officer, healthcare inspectors, military. This kind of, you know, styles work when you have, you know, in this kind of fields, you know, you have bureaucratic managers. Okay. This is useful for managing employee perform their routine tasks to the highest efficiency. This style is much less effective in teams and organizations that rely on flexibility, creativity, and innovation. Coming back now again to the project managers. Okay, we looked at different types of organizations, structures, you know, leadership styles. Within this now, based on the structure, exercise, different levels, authority, when we are working, we have to look at different types which are listed in terms of power and authority for a project manager. Because within different, like a matrix organization, functional organization, projectized organization, the level of power and authority for the project managers differ. So there are high level, few types of power and authority matrix which are available for project managers. There are different types which are available. They are listed as formal, reward, penalty, referent, and expert. What do you mean by formal, legitimate, positional? When the power and authority for project manager comes from position, it is derived from the position, then it is called a formal or positional power and authority. When the power and authority directly or indirectly comes in a form of salary, bonus, better work, basically rewards, penalty, suspension, reprimanding, unpleasant association or assignments. Okay. So these are different types of power and authority matrix. Let's quickly look at it. Formal, as I said, based on positional or position, you get the authority because you are a inspector, you get this much authority, quality inspector. If you are a project director, you have different positional authorities. Okay. Next, rewards. This is best form of positional because everybody likes rewards and bonuses, right? Penalty, because discipline, correct behavior, actions which are required. Referent, being associated with people in power. because I'm associated with a politician or because I'm associated with the project director, this is the power I have. Many times you call it as project management office. Okay, you are associated with different projects and different projects give you different authorities. If it is used properly, you can influence, you know, any kind of action. Expert. These are the people who are the best form of personal power. Special knowledge, experience, SMEs, subject matter experts, because they know something. They are best. Okay. So now we have come to the end of this section wherein we have discussed about different forms of organization. Like, you know, we talked about organization tiers, verticals, different organization breakdown structures, roles and responsibilities of people who are involved in the project. And I hope this has helped you to gain more insights about this. So thank you very much for being patient.